Welcome to Leadership Talk. Today, we have Ms. Shraddha, who is an evangelist by calling and is the founder of Jesus Alone Ministries, sharing her testimony and how the Lord has brought her where she is right now. Do listen to this amazing story.
Greetings in Jesus' name. Welcome to Leadership Talk podcast. It is our great joy to come to you month after month and bring you God's heart concerning our leadership abilities. We have to be leaders that look like Jesus, that talk like Jesus, that lead like Jesus. He is the ultimate example of leadership. Today, I am very delighted to introduce our guest. Her name is Shraddha. She is an evangelist by calling. She's been ministering to a lot of people. We would love to learn from her. We'd love to understand how the Lord has brought her where she is. What was the process? We would love to understand from her leadership. We'd love to learn and understand how God used her and how we can yield ourselves to God. Dear sister, dear evangelist Shraddha, we are so happy to have you. Would you just take a moment to greet our listeners and just say hello to them?
Yes, thank you so much, Brother Priji, for having me. It's a pleasure indeed to be able to talk to your audience, and an even greater pleasure to be able to talk about leadership from the perspective of Jesus. I mean, how it is to actually be like Jesus, lead like Jesus, and to be consumed by the person of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, it all comes back to be enjoying who he is, being consumed by the person of Jesus. So I'm extremely grateful that I got this opportunity to share my life and what I think about, leadership. So I thank you, and my warm greetings to everybody listening to this.
Amazing. We are so excited to hear your story. We'd love to know about your journey with the Lord. Where did it begin? How did you encounter Jesus, and how did that change your life? And we would love to hear a little bit about the process of growth in your personal journey with the Lord.
So I was born in a Hindu Brahmin family, and it takes everybody by surprise when I tell them that I was actually born into a Brahmin family, because the traditions, the culture, the way people are engrossed in, that tradition and everything. So it's a different thing for anybody to think, oh my God, from such a deep engrossed Hindu family, how did you even come to Christianity? How did you even accept Jesus? So I got to know Jesus through my dad. He got to know Jesus through somebody else. So, he really loved, there was something that moved him. So he decided to take a step to believe in Jesus. Somehow when he knew that, okay, this is it, he came and told my mom and I. When he told us, my mom, also being from a very strict Hindu background, refused to accept. But I, as a kid, I was about 5 or 6, but he got me this children's Bible. It was so good to look at. I mean, as a kid, I wanted to just read through just because it had good pictures in it. Not with any other intention, because what else would a 5-year-old think? I think 5 to 7, somewhere in between, I still get confused. And then as I started to read, there was something in my heart. I didn't give it that much weight, but I knew that there was some good feeling. So it wasn't like, oh, this good feeling, so Jesus is God, so let's believe. So it wasn't like that. It was a process. And at that point, he also got me this Jesus toy. It was along with the Bible. He wore this white long gown kind of thing with a blue shawl. And then somewhere I would just like have some attachment, like a kid who's obsessed with new things, new toys, new stuff like that. When my dad said, oh, Jesus, 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 I'm like, okay, Jesus, 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 because it's a new thing, just because it's a new thing in my life. So as I started to talk, there was this song I heard in Telugu, a Christian song. So I was alone in my room. My mom was downstairs and I was just singing myself into it, just enjoying. Not that I knew any proper meaning also, but I just was singing and enjoying. And then there were these 3 chairs in the room. I locked the room myself. So there was nobody there because I would get on the chair and lock it usually myself. So I locked myself and I was just sitting and doing my work, singing this song. And then I heard someone say, Shraddha. A voice so sweet. Even now when I think about it, I'm just like, God, why not again? So when I heard the voice, immediately I was scared because I locked the room myself. And I heard it like he was right beside. And when I turned in fear and in amazement, to my amazement, he was sitting on one of those chairs, exactly dressed in that white gown and a blue shawl. Because as a kid, I shouldn't get confused at, oh, who's this dude? Why is he, what is he even doing in my room? And then he was dressed just like that, shining, beautiful. Even now when I think I get goosebumps that out of everybody, he chose to appear to me. And then when I was sitting there, I said, come here. The way he said, Shraddha, ah, my heart. And then I went to him. He hugged me. He kissed me. He said, Shraddha, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. And then he in this process, he hugged me also. He took me near. He kissed me. And then he said this. He vanished. At that point, I didn't, as a child, I would think, why that statement out of everything else? But although I was excited that, oh, Jesus came and appeared to me, I was still like, until a certain point in my life, I didn't know why he had to promise me just that. And then as I grew in the word, I started to understand that, okay, there must be something. And then he actually spoke from the word. It's in the Bible, right? That I will never leave you nor forsake you. That was when I understood that, you know, he is the word. So when you open the word to read, it's actually Jesus talking to you when there is some rhema word that hits you. It isn't your mind. It isn't your feeling. Because faith is not a feeling. But when you actually read and then Holy Spirit gives you this rhema word, like that verse is jumping at you like, I am meant for you. I am meant for you. It is actually Jesus telling you, you know, giving you that word for that situation in your life. So the word is not just another book. And when he chose to appear to me, he literally said the exact what was in the Bible. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So when you read the word, it is literally God talking to you. When you get that rhema word, when you get that, ah, this verse is for me. Because Holy Spirit activates that in you, that, okay, this is meant for me. This is meant for me. It's not your mind. The devil will trick you into thinking that, oh, you're taking it as your own. Oh, you're thinking it as your own. But the truth is that it is the Holy Spirit that gives you that, you know, confidence from within that it's meant for you. With time, as time passed by, I've gone through a lot of traumatic things in my life, in my personal life. Not one thing to name. It was a collection of things. We've had very close family, who we thought as for family, betray me. I've had people who just left me for no reason. There was no reason. And then that was when the revelation started hitting. I started getting revelations. That's when the TV ministry opened up. That's when Jesus Alone Ministries actually began. So the word that God gives us, see, I didn't know I would go through all of the deepest traumatic things in my life where I would cry every day thinking, what have I even done? What wrong have I even done? At that point, I didn't know. But when God gave me a word, it wasn't just an assurance at that point in time, but there was greatness that he got out of it. He opened doors, my TV ministry, revelations. Before, see, I started preaching when I was 12. Over 10 years back, it was out of my passion, but I could never prepare a sermon on my own. It was just out of this passion, like, okay, I need to tell people about Jesus, but I could never make a proper passion where people would be like, oh my God, she speaks so well. Although people would appreciate that I started preaching at such young age, but it was never satisfying for me when people came and told me that, you know, oh, very good, very good. Except the age factor, I didn't really feel that satisfaction. It was in 2017 that I began JAV. It was actually Shraddha World Evangelism before, when I started in 2012 initially. So in 2017, I don't know, after this, people started leaving me, you know. It was a collection, wasn't it? It was like one after the other, one after the other, one after the other. And there was so much trauma. And then I had to let go of something very important in my life, something that me and my family thought as our own. It's a thing, but it's still important. Not like a person, but even though, like, who I thought was family, you know, literal family, like my own, when they betrayed me, and then slowly I started to, also, this is why he's given me this word. And so many situations where I felt, where I could have, like, felt alone, but he didn't let me. It was like, Shraddha, I'm here. And that out of that word was not just assurance, but like I said, he got greatness, revelations. Jesus Alone Ministries was born. Shraddha World Evangelism wasn't there anymore. It was Jesus Alone Ministries. And then I got into TV ministry. Now I come on 4 channels. It's not normal, right? The promise he's given us, we think, okay, God gave me this promise. It's just limited to this. But if you see, out of that very promise, not only is that an assurance, but he also has a greatness destined for you out of that very promise that is beyond your wildest imaginations.
Amazing, amazing. I love how the revelation that Jesus gave to you personally became the rock, became the foundation on which the ministry would be established. And you mentioned that you've been ministering from the age of 12, right? So I want to understand that, how did you grow in your teaching ability? You know, today we see you, you're so passionate, you're rooted in God's word, you're being used so marvelously to help so many people, young and old alike, and the Lord has been using you. But how was this process of growth in trying to learn and, you know, also understand who you are, what is your calling, what is it that God wants you to focus on? And was this journey easy from the age of 12 all the way till now? What are the ups and downs? What kind of advice would you give to somebody new in ministry, irrespective of their age? What would you advise them, how to prepare, how to change, how to grow, how to become who God wants them to be?
So like I said, when I started preaching at 12, they, from 2000, about early 2012 to about 2017, it was on and off. It wasn't a regular preaching because I was busy in my academics, and then I just couldn't, like, I had the passion, but not as much as I have right now. So at that point, I used to go preach, share on simple topics, the love of God, faith, hope, things like that. But it wasn't so satisfying, because when I heard people preach, I would think, oh my God, how do they even get so many revelations? I would exalt the man preaching. I would exalt that, you know, they are great. I would make it about them, about how smart they are or intelligent they are. Until 2017, when I've gone through problem after problem after problem, where I just don't know. I started reading the word, and he started giving me revelations that I was surprised to have myself. At that point, I wasn't focused on getting a sermon. You work hard, you stress, you should read all of this. I mean, the burden was not on myself. I just left everything to Jesus. Because at that point, when I was going through the traumatic season of my life, I've learned to just surrender everything. I've learned to depend on Him for everything. Even though I didn't particularly ask God, help me make a sermon. But because I learned to depend on Him during that phase, it was like God rewarded me, you know, by teaching me. I mean, nothing better than that for me. As I started to read the word, He started teaching me. 2017 was when He started teaching me slowly. Then I was, okay, a little satisfied. Oh my God, I really could have never thought of this. But the Holy Spirit helped me. But it was in 2020 or 2019 that with each passing year, I learned to depend more on the Holy Spirit. I made it zero about myself, about my efforts. Even today, when I have a meeting that's coming up, I speak in tongues and I say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to preach? There was this one time that I was trying to make a sermon, Christmas season. I was using my brain thinking, okay, Christmas season, let's make Christmas-centered message. But it wasn't working out. There was something that was, I wasn't able to get a proper, you know, revelation or that good mystery out of it. I said, okay, sorry, Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to preach? I just had to ask him that. I sat down, I opened the Bible, with the speed that I started to get different verses, different content. That day when I shared the word, I said, how many of you are blessed by this word? In that season, usually it's a joyous season, but the word was very heart-touching. Everybody lifted their hands. When it's the Holy Spirit, he never leaves out anybody. When Holy Spirit's involved, everybody's life is touched by what you speak and what you do. So when I surrendered saying, Holy Spirit, your aim is to glorify Jesus, and I started Jesus Alone Ministries because I want to point people to Jesus alone. Let's do it like a team. Let's do it together. You are my partner. You are my best friend. Let's do it together. Cooperation. I just had to ask him. And for everybody aspiring, don't make it all about your efforts. You don't stress about how smart you are or how many hours you need to spend. It's just that moment of surrender where you're like, God, what is it that you want to talk to your people through me? I am your vessel. Use me for your glory. Use me so I can point people to Jesus. That's all it took for me to make sermons that everybody is finding encouraging these days. It's just so simple. We complicate it. We complicate the new covenant. In the old covenant, yes, you had to work your way into things. But in the New Testament, it's by faith. Because see, if salvation is something so important, the Bible says if you believe and speak, if foundation itself can be called strong just by faith, why not other things? Foundation is the most important thing. No matter if your foundation is not strong, what will you do with the building that you invest so much money into or put so much hard work into? It's going to just collapse. You are saved by grace through faith. So the beauty in the new covenant is that it is God's grace. It is God's gift of righteousness. It is his mercies. It is his love. Why do we make it all about ourselves? We got to point people not to working hard to make yourself holy, but looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When you look to him, he will develop you from the inside out. It's involuntary with Jesus. That's the beauty of the New Testament. That's the beauty of the gospel, which is why it's called the good news. If it builds fear, why would it be good news? If it makes you work hard and still fail, why would it be good news?
On that note, I want to understand, like, you know, I know you started ministering when you were very young. I also understand that you're a young woman and, you know, in India, and that your experience in ministry would have started way before when it would normally start for others. So you're explaining to us how faith is the basis of your growth, you know, continuing to believe that God is the one who is the author and the perfecter. So I want to understand, did you ever face fear, like in the growth? Did people speak down to you? Did people say things to you to discourage you? And how did you exercise your faith in the presence of that fear, in the presence of that discouragement? It's easy for us to say, oh, I believe when there is no problem, but in the presence of the problems, in the presence of what the enemy is speaking or what people are speaking or what my circumstances are speaking, how did you continue to exercise your faith in the midst of fear? Because one of the things that I've experienced when I'm mentoring young leaders is that a lot of people, they give up because of fear, because they're afraid of failure, because they're afraid of what people will say. They're afraid of losing their investment. They're afraid. And we make all of our choices based on that fear instead of faith. So I want to know from your perspective, how did you overcome the fears that were standing in your way?
Of course, as humans, we sometimes give in to the enemy's efforts of, you know, when he's trying to throw the fiery darts. You know, we got to have the shield of faith. But sometimes as humans, you give in to it. Even I've had my doubts where the enemy has tried to make me doubt my calling. Because I, at one point, I wasn't very satisfied with how Jesus Alone Ministries was doing. I started it, but you know, as this young blood, I wanted a quick growth. I wanted it to reach more people. But at one point in my life, I was like, God, is this even my calling? Did you even choose me for this, or am I just doing it out of my love for you? You know, even though a lot of people have, you know, confirmed this calling on my life, I said, God, I don't see the proof that you've chosen me for this. Sometimes I wouldn't even give my passion that much weight, because I used to think God didn't choose me for this, because it wasn't growing at the faith like how I wanted it to grow. Like, I used to give up. I did have those moments where my relationship with God was extremely dry, like a parched land. And it went on like that for certain days, sometimes a month. But something would hit me and I would just go cry to him. Say, God, what is this? I mean, see, I decided to give my life to you, but I'm not happy with how it's growing. But with time, when I started to make, like I said, surrender. As I started to surrender, God showed me this verse from Philippians where he says, he gives you the willingness. Sometimes we wonder, I think it's my feeling, it's only my feeling, I don't know what God's will is. See, God doesn't treat us like robots. He gives us the willingness to will for what he thinks is best for us. Like I said, in the covenant of grace, he does it from within. It's not a pressure on you. It's not a burden on you. Like, oh, so now I have to do this. Oh, it's not that. He puts it on your heart. So when it's about his business and it's on my heart to preach the gospel of grace and faith, he put it on me. And the devil made me doubt it, because he knew who God made me to be. He knew who I'm destined to be. He knew that I'm going to be a terror to his kingdom. That's where especially people who go through this good phase of surrendering to God, who rely on God, who depend on God, one point there will be some problem that he tries to trick your mind into by saying, I think you're not called for this. I think you're not destined for this. I think it's your own, you know, it's your own way of processing things. Maybe this is not right. He brings all the maybes, the doubts, the ifs, the buts. But when it's just that at that point, I learned to hear the word as much as I can in those times of fear, in those times of doubt, in those times when I said, God, is this even my calling? And then God would show me things where I read this one quote where I was going through this dry phase and I'm like, okay, I think I'm not called for this, because I don't see that growth like I see in other preachers' life, other leaders' life. And then he said, the God who gave you this passion, this calling, he will bring it, he will make you bear fruits. He will bring it to its ultimate fulfillment. He will do it. Why do we take the burden? That's why he said, come to me as you are. Why do you take all those burdens? I will give you rest, nah. See, it's as simple as taking it all out of from your head and giving it into his hands and saying, Jesus, I rest in you. Sometimes you have to speak. Even when you have fear, speak faith. Don't speak fear. I highlight the law of confession so much. Even if your mind says impossible, even if people say impossible, speak faith. When you speak faith, you're arranging every crooked way to become straight, because God said death and life in the power of your tongue. See, he put in front of us death and life, blessing and cursing. We got to choose. The word of God is truer than your situation. But people don't get it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That is very inspiring for us to just understand that there is so much power in what we confess. Even when we see that this is my situation, but I can choose to confess God's word instead of my situation. Because the Bible doesn't say, let the weak say they are weak. The Bible says, let the weak say they are strong. Bible is not asking us to lie. Bible is teaching us to confess a spiritual truth over a, you know, instead of a physical reality. Sister, I'd like to understand your perspective on how to grow in terms of raising other leaders like you. Like, you know, God has brought you so far in the ministry, and I'm sure one of your passion is to make sure there are other young women, other young men that are passionate in serving Jesus the way you are passionate about. And how is that process? What do you need to do in order to birth other leaders like you or to raise other leaders like you? And how do you understand and grow in submission as you raise and train and, you know, equip these leaders? We'd love to hear your perspective on this.
It all starts with passion first, right? To be a leader or to become a leader, it initially starts with a passion, a desire, a compassionate heart to lead people, you know, into the same route, as in like to become a good leader so that they can lead other people. Like I said, I haven't had a specific formula. I haven't had any specific formula to like, okay, so this is what you need to do. This is how you learn, because I didn't have anybody to tell me. I didn't have anybody to tell me this is how you become a leader. Even Moses, the weakest, but God chose him and said, you are going to bring my people out. A man who couldn't even speak properly. And then there's Jeremiah again. He said, God, but I'm a child. I'm a young guy. He said, don't say you're young. When God chooses you, like I said, he puts that passion in you. You just have to go through the process of surrendering. God, you put this desire in my heart. Teach me, train me, equip me. Because the Bible in 1 John says, the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. 1 John chapter 2. See, like a leader, I would probably show people the way. See, Jesus, it's all about him. I can show them that. But for me to stay with them through every step of the process is not possible. It's not possible for any human, like to go through every atom of their growth or to see the every atom of their feeling or atom of the process of their growth. It's not possible. But I can definitely show them that this is who we need to focus on, Jesus, that this is who we need to highlight through our leading, that people become more Christ-centered and not situation-centered or not anything else-centered, but Jesus. This is the base. This is the root. I can strengthen them in this. But to go through that every step of the process, Holy Spirit will help you. Just today, I posted a testimony where this young lady, she said, I don't feel God. I feel like I lost that connection with him. I feel like the Holy Spirit doesn't live in me. I said, see, whatever it is, you are his child. You have the liberty to ask him whatever it is. She just said, God, show me, lead me into knowing that feeling of, you know, being led by the Spirit, or that, you know, that Holy Spirit is with me. She just had to ask God. God said, ask of me and I will give you nations. Can you believe? He said, just ask. And when it's related to him, you know, when it's about him and serving him and building his kingdom, when we ask him, won't he help us? Will he not nourish us, nurture us through this entire process? People won't stand by our side every step of the way, but he does. He doesn't leave us. That's why he's Emmanuel. Because God with us, in us. That's the good news.
That's so powerful. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. We'd love for you to just speak a word of blessing and just pray for our dear listeners and the leaders that are tuned into this conversation. We believe that your faith, your passion, your love for Jesus will in fact, you know, be imparted into some of our listeners as they listen and receive this word, and that we would raise ministries, organizations, institutions that are Jesus-centered, not problem-centered, not circumstances-centered, but we would do life in such a way that we direct people to Jesus instead of ourselves. So we'd love for you to just pray and speak a word over our people.
Yes. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless everybody that has listened to this podcast, that has heard everything that we've shared and spoken about you, Jesus. I pray that, Lord, this word is rooted in their hearts, that this word points them to Jesus, that this word builds them up in you, that it helps them understand the blessing that's already on their life because of Jesus' finished work. Lord, to all the aspiring leaders and all the aspiring, passionate people who want to serve you, Lord, thank you for helping them. Thank you for teaching them. Thank you for guiding them in their process of becoming a leader, in the process of them pointing people to Jesus. We know, Lord, it's all about you, only about you. Lord, help them, Holy Spirit, help them. Because only the Bible says the Holy Spirit teaches you all things and brings to remembrance all things about Jesus. Nobody can do it better than you, Holy Spirit. Nobody. So we pray that, Holy Spirit, you impact the lives of the listeners, that you bless them, their families, even Pastor, that you bless him and his family. His wonderful initiative that he's taken up with this leadership conference to impact the lives of aspiring leaders and the people who love to listen to such grace-filled or to powerful, to listen to a powerful word. Lord, bless his heart, bless his life, bless his family for taking up such a great initiative that could change so many lives. I release a blessing upon Pastor and his family. I release a blessing upon all the listeners and their families as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We receive that. Thank you. Sister, if people have to connect with you online or to one of your television channels, I've seen so many testimonies that are coming out of people that you've been praying for, that you've been teaching and leading on your Instagram page. So we'd love to know, how can they connect with you if they need to connect with you?
So we do have our pages on Instagram, Facebook and YouTube in the name of Jesus Alone Ministries. But I'm most active on Instagram. I do reply on Facebook as well, but I'm most active on Instagram. They can message me there. They can DM their prayer requests. I check them, and before 48 hours, I do get back because I get a lot of them.
So, I understand.
Yeah, they can connect.
We will put a link for that in the show notes so people can connect. And we are really blessed. Thank you so much for taking out your time to be on this podcast. We hope to have you again another time.
Thank you so much for having me. I consider this an honor. Thank you.
Friends, if you're blessed, make sure to share this podcast. Make sure to comment. Let us know what is the one thing that spoke to your heart. And take a moment to also spread this podcast to your friends or your church members or your family who can be encouraged and blessed by the same. God bless you. We will talk to you again next month with the next episode of Leadership Talk.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Hope you were blessed. Do visit pastorpriji.com/podcast to subscribe for more resources related to leadership and various topics.